And now, our speaker of the hour, Brother Ernest Lawls.
The divine authority of the Bible. There are those today who would have us believe that truth is only relative, not absolute. We are told by the liberals and modernists that one cannot know the truth. Not only is this a denial of the authority of the Scriptures, but it presents man as his own interpreter of God and His Word. Actually, it makes God's Word subject to the authority and wisdom of man. Is it not strange that man may claim such superior knowledge that he can judge truth? In his inflated wisdom, he claims that man cannot know the truth. What a paradox! The little insignificant creature of God, mortal man, claims that he knows that man cannot know the truth. He knows there is no truth, for truth is only relative. He says he knows that you cannot know. How absurd! If man cannot know the truth, then he cannot know that there is no truth. This is a false conclusion. Our Lord taught absolute truth, not relative truth. It was not only truth that could be known, but must be known for man to enjoy freedom from sin. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus declared, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The knowledge of the truth, with faith and obedience to that truth, is the means of freedom from sin, our Lord affirmed. Christ furthermore stated a condition of truth when he said, "If ye abide in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8, verses 31, 32. Obviously, to know the truth and abide in my words, the truth, one then must understand the truth. To know the truth and abide in the truth is to act and live by the truth. The Apostle John wrote, "Hereby we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. He that saith, He abideth in Him, ought also to walk, even as He walked." 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. Now, whom do you choose to follow, God or man? The modernist says man cannot know the truth, for truth is only relative. God said, "Hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." God is unmistakably right. Man is unmistakably wrong. My friends, it is no little matter to disregard the authority of God. To pervert the truth, God's word, is to overthrow the faith of men. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 18. Here Paul declared that Hymenaeus and Philetus, concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. But one might ask, what difference does it make about what these men taught? What they might say will not affect the resurrection one way or another. It is true that this erroneous teaching concerning the resurrection will not affect the resurrection. But a perversion of God's Word and a failure to be governed by the authority of Christ will affect the faith and destiny of men and overthrow the faith of some, the Apostle Paul declared. The heresy of circumcision might seem insignificant to those who consider the matter of authority lightly. But the inspired Apostle declared that this perversion of Christ's authority resulted in falling away from grace. Listen to Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." This was a matter of respecting or rejecting Christ's authority in contrast to the authority of the Old Testament. What difference would it make whether a man were circumcised or not circumcised? What moral or ethical principle would be involved? so much that it might involve the destiny of one soul, if he were circumcised or not circumcised? The principle involved was the matter of accepting or rejecting Christ's authority. God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit were so sensitive about this matter that Christ, through the Spirit, inspired Paul to write, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I've said before, so say now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed." Paul went on to say, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, neither received I it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." My friends, modern theologians and religious liberals may scoff at the idea that the destiny of man's soul may depend on what one believes, but there can be no doubt about the pronouncements in the Scriptures which are the final authority relating to man's eternal destiny. There is no room for misunderstanding the authoritative declaration of the Apostle John when he said, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." 2 John verse 9. The divine revelation of God's authority for man today is unquestionably revealed in the New Testament. Before Christ left this earth, he chose the apostles as his ambassadors, his spokesmen, his representatives. In John the 14th chapter, verses 25 and 26, we read, "These things have I spoken unto you," Jesus speaking to his disciples, "being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." A couple of chapters over, we read in John chapter 16, and there beginning with verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." In the 2 Corinthians letter, chapter 5, you notice what Paul said in regards to his authority and the other apostles. He said, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." And so before Christ left this earth, he chose the apostles as his ambassadors, his spokesmen, his representatives. The apostles were commanded by Jesus to wait until they received the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, which would bring to, he said, "to your remembrance all things that I said unto you, and guide you into all truth." Luke chapter 24, in verse 47 beginning, he told his disciples, and he said, "Thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high." Also, as we read from John chapter 14, verse 26, John 16, 13, Acts 1, just before he ascended back to the Father, he commanded them, gave them commandments. The apostles followed the Lord's instructions, and the gospel, God's authority for men's salvation, was confirmed by the great miraculous works which accompanied their preaching. Mark records Jesus had given the Great Commission according to Mark's account. And when he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." And it says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed." Verse 20. Without authority, there is anarchy, whether it be in the home, the community, civil government, or the church. Anarchy is said to be a social structure without government or law or order, hence utter confusion. Today, many responsible leaders of the world are gravely concerned about the gross disrespect for law and order, which is resulting in confusion, disunity, and rebellion against righteousness and morality. Street demonstrations were only the beginning. Now mobs are trying to take the law into their own hands and pervert it to their own likes and dislikes. This, of course, is most regrettable. Unless order and respect for authority are restored, chaos and destruction are inevitable. This is true in civil government, and of course, the same principle prevails in the realm of religion. It is indeed sad and regrettable that leaders in religion in many areas have little or no respect for the authority of the Bible. As a result, there is confusion, division, and unrighteousness, all of which is a defiance of godly rule and order and is displeasing to God Almighty. The principle of authority is simple and absolutely necessary in order, unity, and regulation. Think of the confusion which would exist in the absence of authority of, say, for example, time and weights and measurements. My friends, authority in the Christian religion does not emanate from the reason of man, nor the traditions of men. One cannot look to man's reason to learn whether or not the Bible is right in what it says. No man is competent to pass judgment on God's divine word. On the contrary, we must look to the divine scriptures to tell us what man's reason, that man's reason is right or wrong on any Bible subject. The only way that men can be united in faith and be pleasing to God is for man to submit his will to God's will and not try to subject God's will to human reason. Faith must replace human reason. And on the only basis for faith is God's Word. In the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, we read where Paul said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But he says, "How then can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except to be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for as I said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." For in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, "For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Yes, preaching is foolishness to a lot of people. Yet we are not unmindful that many would have us submit to traditions as an authority in religion. This theory of authority is based on the assumption that the church has authority from God, and the conscience of man is subject to the ecclesiastical dictates of the church. Now, according to this view of authority, the Holy Scripture is not God's complete revelation, not sufficient, not self-contained, not self-interpreting. The Bible alone, according to this presumption, is not a safe guide. Through the claims of papal infallibility and the traditions of men have been imposed upon the conscience of men. This totalitarian power supersedes both human reason and God's voice of authority. There is no authority capable of judging tradition according to the traditionalist view. The church has the right to augment and to declare the alleged meaning of scriptures. Man, therefore, is not permitted to exercise the faith of his own conscience in determining what the Bible says. His faith is predicated primarily upon the premise of church doctrine. What the church teaches and what the church has laid down must be accepted without question. From the viewpoint of reason, man's responsibility is to receive without question church tradition and not think of testing it. My friends, no principle of authority could be a greater repudiation of God's Word, the Bible. Who will you hear? God or some man? Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Apostle John declared by inspiration, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. 2 John verses 9 through 11. The last words of the Bible warn, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. In the realm of authority there is another perversion of God's order, that of the subjectivist. To the subjectivist, the Scriptures, comparable to any books of human origin, are subject to mistakes, contradictions, and are not the complete revelation of God. Parts of the Bible are uninspired, unimportant, and have no relevance for this modern age. Mysticism and rationalism combine as a presumptive source of authority. The liberals and modernists revel in this area of attack on the inspiration and authority of the Bible. The subjectivist is influenced by his feelings. What he has learned from sources apart from the Bible, such as history, science, and philosophy, more than by divine declarations of the Bible. Well, he may even claim that the Spirit of God, through his own intellect, is his interpreter. In other words, it is necessary for God to use him through his human reason and experience to determine what is authoritative and what is not. A thing is right only when his reason and conscience approve it. The faith, therefore, of the liberals and the modernists is simply a matter of being loyal to one's own religious convictions and experiences, regardless of what the Bible says. How foolish man must be when he must rest his faith and hope on the finite knowledge and wisdom of men. My friends, Jesus warned against the traditions of men and speculations in theology. Notice the reading of the Scriptures of Mark 7, 6-13. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father and his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered. And many such like things ye do. Now, to the church at Colossae, Paul wrote, take heed lest there shall be any one that maketh spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ, Colossians 2 and verse 8. The inspired apostle wrote most conclusively about the authority and traditions of men versus the authority of Christ. Hear him. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. My friends, for one to deny the authority of the New Testament Scriptures is to deny the Lordship and Kingship of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of His church. Ephesians 1:22, and hath put all things, that is God, under His feet, that is Christ, and made Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. There is only one head over the church, and that's Christ. Colossians 1:18, He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Then the Apostle Paul admonished, whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Now, to do all things in the name of the Lord is to do those things by the authority of the Lord. The teaching of Christ through His divinely appointed apostles rules the church. Therefore, the church is ruled by the authority of the Scriptures. The church has no authority of itself. The authority is the head of the church, Christ, the Son of God, and Him only, no man, or any group of men on this earth, constitute the authority in the Lord's church. Elders of a local congregation have a degree of authority as overseers of their respective local congregations, but their authority, like that of all other men, is subject to the authority of Christ. Some religious leaders have attempted to pervert God's authority by contending that the authority is in the man, Christ, and not the plan, the Scriptures. This is a false conclusion. Christ was not merely a judge of the Scriptures. He recognized the authority of the Old Testament Scriptures under which He lived and died. He obeyed the Scriptures. He fulfilled the Scriptures. Both by word and deed, He endorsed the authority of the Scriptures. By His authority, the New Testament Scriptures were revealed and confirmed as God's authoritative Word. Christ, through the New Testament Scriptures, is the supreme and final authority for Christians. Christ Himself announced to His disciples, all authority hath been given unto Me in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28 and verse 18. My friends, we beg you to submit your will to the will of God, that it may be well with your soul in that day. Our Lord pleads, why call ye Me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke 6 and verse 46. In becoming a child of God, in being saved, only Christ has the authority, my friends, to say what man must do in order to be saved. He died for us. He is our Savior. He was given all authority. And He tells us in order to be saved that a man must believe that He is the Son of God. John 8 and verse 24. He says that a man must be willing to repent and turn from sin. Luke 13 verses 3 and 5. He says that a person must confess Him before men. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. Jesus said, if ye confess Me before men, him will I confess before My Father which is in heaven. He that denieth Me before men, him will I also deny before My Father which is in heaven. And then Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. My friends, Jesus has all authority. This is what Jesus says that one must do in order to be saved. That's all we ask you to do, is just comply with what the Lord said and not man.